Greg, welcome to the Plus Future podcast.
James, thank you very much. It's a great pleasure.
Excellent. So we've gone through the coaching ground rules before, and what would you like to get out of this 40-minute session today?
Yeah, I guess one of the things for me as a CEO, entrepreneur, own my own business, is obviously trying to grow the business. And I don't know if you're familiar with an American sales coach called Grant Cardone. He's a very hardcore American sales guy. He'd be a complete failure in Japan, but he's very successful in America. He often makes the point that, you know, in our businesses, we're often invisible and people don't know that we exist or we have solutions for them because they just don't know that we're there. And it's always one of those bugbears of being a leader. How do you project more visibility? How do you get people actually having intent to come and contact you? And you know, I'm pretty much old school. I pop into the A&A hotel across the road from my office sometimes, have breakfast there. And I was just reading the Financial Times this morning, having a cup of coffee, and an Aussie guy I know who works for the group wandered by, and he said, "Oh, you're reading an actual physical newspaper as opposed to something on screen." I said, "Yeah, I'm old school." So there's probably a lot of things that are out there or a lot of aspects about having more visibility, which for someone like me, being a bit old school, may be weird to people like yourself. We may have seen things at work elsewhere or even your own projection of your own branding, because you do a phenomenal job branding yourself from what I can see. I'm just always interested in things that I can learn in that regard. What can I do to improve visibility, to bring our solutions to the fore for people who have a need? You know, and that's something I'm always interested in. So it's probably what can I do? Could be within the organization. It could be from a personal branding, professional branding point of view. Any ideas you have in that area, always very welcome. And you're also a creator and, you know, you're an artist as well. So you've got, again, a little bit broader spectrum than a typical business bent on just thinking about the business aspects of it. So I'm also interested to tap into your creative juices as well, James.
So why is visibility in particular important as opposed to anything else?
Yeah, well, you know, we spend a lot of money on Google AdWords. So we're trying to put ads in front of people who are searching, you know, physically searching for training. And that's okay. But really, there are other aspects where you want to become, well, I want to become the go-to guy for training in Japan. So if you are thinking, oh, yeah, our team needs some training, Greg Story, that's the guy. He's my go-to guy for training. I'm going to get in contact with him, see what he's got, see what he can help us with. That's the positioning I'd like to get to. And if you can get to that type of positioning, then the flywheel effect takes over so that, you know, you're not just spending money on paid ads. You're actually getting through your other activities sort of latent demand to coming to you, and then you can service that demand. And so that's really why, to try and improve the business uptake of what we can offer, because, you know, we've been going since 1912 here, so, and 1963 in Japan, so is Dale Carnegie. So we've got a tremendously broad spectrum of stuff we can, solutions we can help people. We've got, you know, great quality. We've got everything you want. But if you don't know about it, you know, it's frustrating. I actually have a meeting set up for tomorrow with a gentleman. Now, I actually met this gentleman. We had a discussion on something else. And then I bumped into him at the American Chamber end of year Bonenkai party. And there was another trainer there. And they were talking about the training that this other trainer did for him. And I thought, wow, okay, we met. You know I do training, but you didn't reach out to me. You went with the other trainer. So, you know, what's the dots were not connecting, you know? It's like, my God. So actually, we're having a full-on meeting tomorrow to try and connect those dots, but it would be much better if he'd had a need for the training that he's remembered me and said, "Hey, Greg, love to talk to you about what we need here," but it didn't happen. That's, again, this invisibility or the intent part was missing. So what am I not doing here that's, you know, not working for me? That's the sort of, what are sort of structural issues that are stopping me, or what is the execution, or is it quality issues? What is it? I don't quite know.
There was a sigh there when you mentioned the word frustrating. How can I work with you now in the time that we've got to get you over that frustration?
Well, if you've got any insights or ideas on what we could be doing more of or better aspects of it, you know, based on, you know, your own different perspective, because it's a bit like groupthink, you know. It's sort of 1984 groupthink sort of problem that we're all in that little bubble here over here at Dale Carnegie. We're in the office together every day. We're working together every day. We discuss things every day, but it's just our little circle. And it's always good to have someone outside the circle, different perspective. And you're a classic Renaissance man to me. And when I look at your profile and I look at things you do, I go, wow. First of all, I don't know how you do it all. That just amazes me. And then you have such a broad spectrum of things. So I thought, well, you know, James, he may have some ideas. He may have seen some things work somewhere. He just may be seeing things that works for himself that perhaps we're not doing, which we could be doing. So if there are any sort of hints or things like that, that would be useful.
In this session, it's a coaching session. So unfortunately, I can't give you mentoring to give you examples of what I do. I can coach you and bring out ideas that are in your head and prompt questions to do that. Would that be okay if we proceed on that basis?
Yeah.
Okay, so you mentioned frustrations, people don't know where you are. Where do you need to go? Where's the gap?
Well, we have a number of different target audiences we're seeking. If I just look at my target audience as a CEO of the company, not what my salespeople are doing, or my marketing team, is just myself personally, because I also sell. I also train. I'm an instructor as well. I also do executive coaching. So I'm also a practitioner. I'm not just sitting here behind the steering wheel, you know, directing the traffic, so to speak. I'm actually in it. What can I do more of? What things would be more effective for me? I'm just trying to think about what would that be, because at the moment I am doing a number of podcasts aiming for the avatar for me is the expat leader of the organization in Japan for a number of years, or maybe an established expat here who's been here for a number of years. But the majority, the vast majority of their team are Japanese team members. They need training for their team members, or maybe for themselves if they need executive coaching, like the sort of things that you do as well. So how do I let that person know that I'm here and this is what we do? And I think I do a fair bit now. I'm launching a podcast 6 days a week. Most of them are about 10, 15 minutes long, just me pontificating. One is an hour long. It's an interview format where I interview CEOs about what they're doing. And the single topic is leading in Japan. That's a very specific podcast. And I have also three TV shows, and one on Monday, one on Friday, and then that interview one on Saturdays, which we strip the audio out for the podcast versions. So I do that, trying to have profile, trying to get found. I'm posting on LinkedIn, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and lately TikTok. In my advanced state in my career, I'm doing TikTok. I never thought I'd be doing TikTok, but I discovered that the fastest growing audience segment in TikTok is a sort of 25 to 45 age bracket. And I thought, bingo, that's probably an age bracket that's in my area. Although I'm very niche. I mean, you've got to be interested in Japan, and you've got to be interested in leadership, presentations, communication, and sales, or DEI, diversity, equity, inclusion, as our core things that we cover. So started doing that. I run ads in, well, there used to be a lot of magazines, aren't many anymore, but I used to have it every month in the American Chamber Journal, but that's down to like four times a year now, but I advertise in that. British Chamber Journal's gone, European Chamber Journal's gone, In Touch magazine and Tokyo American Club is still there. I do every second month, I do something in there. Just, you know, I don't do that much advertising. I don't pay, apart from the Google AdWords, for the stuff I put out for free on, you know, Google through LinkedIn, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, TikTok, et cetera. So I'm doing a fair bit, but it's obviously, what am I missing here? I did a speech recently for the American Chamber Sales Committee at the end of the year, again, to try and, you know, meet people, get the word out. And I videoed that, and then it'll get edited, and then I'll put that in my vault of video content, audio content, again, to put that out into the world. Hopefully people can find me. But I'm just wondering to myself, you know, what's missing here? What am I what am I not doing, or what am I not doing effectively enough, or am I doing too much? You know, would I be better to have less but go for more elongated content with it? These are things that I struggle with a little bit myself. I'm late to the party on this stuff. I didn't start doing, you know, Facebook or Twitter or LinkedIn until about 2011, 12, you know. I sort of was scared of it. I was fearful of it. I wondered about it. And then I started. So I'm a bit late to the party. YouTube, we've been doing since about then too, about 2011. Put about 1,200 videos on YouTube, I think, for the company, mostly featuring me, plus my Japanese team as well. So, yeah, I'm just struggling a bit myself. And, you know, or am I missing something in terms of I need a social media guru? Do I need someone in the marketing area to give me advice? Is that what I'm missing? These are sort of things going through my mind, that Japanese expression, the frog in the well, doesn't know the ocean. Sometimes I feel like that frog in my own little well here, and I don't know the ocean because it's quite broad. And my exposure to it is, I guess, relatively late to the party as well. So these are things that sort of frustrate me a little bit. I don't quite know what I don't know, I suppose. If that classic expression, we don't know what we don't know, that worries me a little bit.
I'm sensing exhaustion.
Probably more frustration, I think, than exhaustion. I'm getting up every morning, 6, I go for an hour walk, I hit the gym, you know, I'm in pretty good shape. That side, I sleep well, I eat well, I don't drink too much booze, I never smoked, you know. So in terms of physicality, I take care of myself, do a pretty good job on that, I think. I try and have a lot of energy during the day. I'm a very energetic person. You've got to rest too. You've got to rest as well. That's important. So I wouldn't say exhaustion so much. It's probably just frustration in the sense of I'm already pretty busy. How do I go and find that extra layer that I'm missing to maybe plug some gaps here? That takes energy. That takes time, particularly time. Time is always a finite resource for all of us and most precious resource we all have in business. So that's one thing that I'm very conscious about. So that's probably more frustration, James, than anything else, I guess.
You've used the frustration many times in this conversation. If you were to visualize that, what would it look like?
I've never thought to visualize frustration before. I guess it's an emotion more than anything else I can visualize. But I can probably talk more about the feeling, that I can visualize the feeling. But it's that sense of there's a, you know, fear of missing out. There's a component of that and the frustration that I'm not doing enough. There's a fear of the unknown. You know, I'm in a red ocean. Where's the blue ocean? You know, where's the less competitive parts of this business? We've had hell for 4 years with COVID as a training organization, not just us, the whole industry, the whole training industry has been slammed. Travel, hospitality got slammed by COVID. Training industry got slammed by COVID as well. We're improving. We're getting better each year, but it did go to a very low. We're sort of trying to swim back to the surface, to break the surface and breathe air again. So that's been hard. That's been frustrating from a business point of view. What are my other feelings here? I guess, am I doing enough? You know, am I focused on the right things? Am I prioritizing the right things? You know, because I prioritize my days. As Stephen Covey wrote in The 7 Habits, you know, which is a great book, you know, if you've got your ladder up against the wrong wall, fighting and scrambling and struggling to get up the top of the ladder doesn't help you if it's against the wrong wall. You're on the right wall. So I have to caution myself sometimes, am I placing my ladder on the right wall? Do I know if that's the right wall? I guess these are sort of things you worry about in business, because there's no real playbook here or roadmap here for entrepreneurs. You know, you are creating the business day by day. You're venturing into segments of business that you've never been in before. You're trying things you've never done before. You're trying to respond to market trends that haven't been there before. So you're in a constant state of self-discovery, which I guess the classic thing here is imposter syndrome, because when you start getting into areas you're not familiar with or areas that are new, you don't have that backbone. You don't have that spine of experience and knowledge to really make any evaluations on. Is this the right thing I should be doing? So that tends to make you wonder, am I actually, you know, doing what I should be doing, I guess. I mean, then you've got to lead people and they have to believe in the direction, and you've got to have confidence in the direction you're setting so that they will follow you, because if you're not sure about where we're going, they sure as hell aren't going to be sure about it either. So again, this becomes a, can become a tripwire to other problems if you're not really convinced that what you're doing is correct. And then on the flip side of that, if you're overly confident that, yes, I'm perfect, I know everything, this is what we should do, and it isn't the right thing, then you're going to stumble. So there's a lot of, in the word frustration there, I guess there's a lot of complexity in business around the issues that as business people, as entrepreneurs, as leaders, that we need to be looking at. And I'm looking at those things myself. And, you know, I'm just wondering, what's the missing piece here? Is it having someone, you know, coach me like you are doing coaching for executives? Is that the piece I'm missing? Is it a marketing coach I need? Is it a digital coach that I need? Do I need three different coaches? These are the sort of questions I'm asking myself, I guess. I haven't come up with any answers particularly, but it's certainly, you talk about visualizing frustration. Well, if I describe the frustration, it's those things I've mentioned, and these are the sorts of question marks, I guess, I have for myself about, am I really positioned in the right place? Am I focused on the right things? Am I doing the right things? Am I asking the right questions? I love that thing in Japan, you know, about, for Japanese companies, they're more interested in what's the right question than what's the right answer, whereas in the West, we all tend to be seeking, well, what's the right answer? But if you think about it, what's the right question is a much smarter approach. So am I asking the right questions, I guess, is another question I have for myself.
I'm sensing a shift in this conversation. We started off with, am I doing enough for marketing? And this has got bigger for the frustration. What would you like to focus on? And then what would you need for me to get you there?
Well, in terms of finding a way through this puzzle, because naturally we're busy every day, pace of business is incredibly quick today, fast, and changing rapidly. A lot to stay on top of. So you tend to be working in the business rather than on the business. I know these things, but actually, am I making the time sufficiently in my day to work on the business? I spent the new end of year, new year period finishing off my latest book. Spent a lot of time writing. I bought a couple of courses and started on one of them during that period as well, just again, try and get some fresh perspective. And these are on-demand types of video programs, which, you know, it's convenient having someone work with you to go through these issues, I guess. And it may not be a coach too, as you said before. Mentorship may be more the point, that I'm looking for someone who's actually done it, who's a practitioner as well, someone who's a skilled artisan in these particular areas, someone who's practical, technical. That might be the thing. I'm not sure. I do a lot of executive coaching. I get coached within side Dale Carnegie for the business, but in terms of getting, that's a Dale Carnegie business, but in getting coached on me as a CEO, me as a leader, that sort of external viewpoint, don't have that yet. So I'm just wondering to myself, what do I need to do there? What's the trail, or what's the path to start getting some runs on the board there, or start the process of investigation, I guess? Because when I start searching on executive coaches, it's, I said before, if I think the training industry is a red ocean, well, the executive coaching industry is a total red ocean, even worse. And it's very hard to gauge who's who and, you know, try and find that combination. Because if you think about it, they have to, presumably, they have to know about Japan. They've got to know about the type of industry I'm in, presumably. They've got to know if it's going to be in that technical area. Then they've got to know about what's relevant here for digital marketing, et cetera, et cetera. So again, I haven't quite found the key to the door yet to open it up to actually get some help. I'm probably easier to find as an executive coach than for me to find an executive coach, because it's usually not as specific as what I'm looking for. I would guess it tends to be general CEO stuff that I know a lot about being a CEO. But this is probably something a bit more technical. So I'm not quite sure. I've tried to look and I just like, wow, this is like overwhelming.
What specifically are you looking for out of all of this?
Well, I guess maybe some self-generated ideas, I guess, or some clarity on my ideas, I guess, around next steps to try and find maybe the advice, someone who can put the pieces of the puzzle together for me. What can I do to get through this red ocean of, you know, a million executive coaches, but trying to find the fit. I struggle a bit with that. I haven't been able to find a fit yet. Maybe I'm looking in the wrong places. I don't know. Something I need to think about more, maybe. And that may be the answer for me, to try and get some external perspective on what I'm doing. Because again, you're that frog in the well, as I mentioned before, and it all looks fine down in the well, but what's out there? Maybe that's it. I've got to maybe hive off a specified time to work on that, because businesses are super busy and you tend to get mowed down by all the urgency of this, like that. One of urgent and important in the Eisenhower model there, of urgent and important, and you're sort of stuck there. I need to be in quadrant two, where it's not urgent but important. So I need to maybe gravitate more into that sector and allocate some time to start a better search than I tried last year. I did try last year. I just sort of got run over by this red ocean of executive coaches that could not differentiate, which was actually the right combination of things I was looking for. So I then gave up and just got busy and went back to work. So maybe it's get into quadrant two, not urgent but important, and find the time to clarify a little bit more, and then spend the time searching or through my network, find someone maybe. I haven't found anybody yet, but I guess they must be out there.
How can you find clarity?
Well, that's usually for me. I'm very much a, you know, pen and paper thinker. I do a lot of individual brainstorming around problems myself. I use a lot of focus mapping to put a problem in the center and then draw out from that what are the sort of key elements around that problem, then isolate out what are the most highly prioritized items, and then do the same thing again with those to break them down to try and find the ideas that I'm looking for. So maybe I need to spend a bit of time doing that. That could be it. So not a bad process. It doesn't take long. I'm pretty good at it because I use it a lot. I haven't done on this particular occasion. I don't know why. Maybe I just got busy. Yeah, but maybe that's something I could do. I'll go back to using my focus map and try and visualize. I'm very visual in that sense. I like to see things, and I'm one of those people who grab the whiteboard marker pen and jump up on the whiteboard and start plotting things out or drawing things out diagrammatically. It just makes me think clearly. Helps me to think clearly, I should say. So that might be something I can do. I hive some time off and spend some time on that. And also maybe when I'm going to events, there's a lot of Shin-En Kai, a lot of New Year activities coming up. I just look at my diary, there's a whole bunch of them coming up. I'm also thinking maybe when I attend those and seek out advice from people I know who may be down the same path as I'm down and may have found someone. It's always, you know, word of mouth is always good. So maybe that's something I can do as well. I can probably think about doing that. I've got about three or four, I think, coming up in the next couple of weeks. These are big events, you know, like hundreds of people. So quite a good room to maneuver in to find, advice. That's something I could do perhaps.
How would you like to use these last 10 minutes that we have together today?
Well, we sort of fleshed out what I'm thinking in terms of some of the issues. We've talked about some of the practicalities of action I could take. I suppose think about any other activities that I could undertake. So I've talked about quadrant two, not urgent but important, time to do some focus mapping on the issues, brainstorm some ideas. I've talked about using the networking events coming up, where there will be hundreds of people there and I'll know a lot of them, obviously, because I am members of these organizations. Maybe also my network. I have a pretty reasonable network of contacts, and maybe I can start working on that too. That's another idea, and just ask people. Maybe I can just ring around a few people, say New Year, happy greetings, and then start talking about this. They may or may not know. So that sort of stimulates me to think about this. Three takeaways from this. I don't know if there's any things from your side. And again, you differentiate that you're not mentoring in the sense of providing advice. you're here to ask me questions to ask myself. So I guess you've been doing that. But I'm just wondering, what else could I do? What else is out there? Not really coming up with much, actually. I think maybe those items could be the next stage. Like, well, it'd be a starting point anyway. I mean, if I isolate out my time and allocate it to those three things, something hopefully will come out of that. So let me try those three things, then see how it goes. I think time usage is always the make and break, isn't it? You know, being able to be disciplined to break that time out and stick with it. I'm pretty disciplined through my martial arts training. It made me very disciplined. So I guess I've got the discipline to do it. Just got to make sure that the massive wave of meetings, emails, urgencies, fires to be put out, crocodiles to be belted on the nose with a big oar don't overtake me like usually happens once you get into the year. That's probably one of the barriers to action. If we think about, I know what the benefits are going to be. I know what the action required is. What are the potential barriers that are going to come up, which will prevent me from doing that? That would, the time being destroyed by other things would be one of them. So I guess I'm just going to have to take the pen out and block time for myself in the diary to make sure that I actually get it done. That's probably going to be key. Block time is always a very good thing to do. So that's probably another aspect of that, thinking ahead about what would be some blockers and then short circuit the blockers so that I can actually go and do it. I think that's probably a good thing to do as well. So it's like a fourth item, isn't it? Fourth item on the blockers there.
You mentioned early in the conversation frustration and am I doing too much or too little? What can you do there?
Yeah, that's a difficult one. You know, how much is enough? That's a very difficult question to answer in business. You know, how much is enough? Which particular things are the most valuable, most high, you know, best return ROI, return on investment of your time? Outputs, very hard sometimes to make that judgment. So that's an area to also for me to think about too, because if I get that right, then it starts a chain reaction of good decisions and progress. So that's something I guess I have to think about as well. The frustration, I think, comes from a judgment on focus, priority, activity, time usage. What can I do more in that area? I think is probably spend a little more time maybe on reflection about that. I'm not a great journal writer. I do a lot of writing. I write a lot of blogs. I write a lot of books. I've written seven books, published seven books. You know, I've done a lot of writing, but actually journaling every day, although I take copious notes during meetings. So I have good records of what's been going on day by day, but I don't really spend a lot of reflection time. When I get home, I've got things to do there in terms of my blogs and writing and stuff like that. So maybe a bit of reflection time would be good. Maybe I need to build that into my week a little bit better. What I'm doing now, that could be something that would possibly give me a little bit more clarity around things, make it a little bit more of a judgment on how the week went. You know, I normally do all my planning from the morning, but I was following a guy called Ryan Serhant, who's a bit of a guru in the States. I bought one of his courses, actually, and he made the point that he prepares the next day, the night before, which I've never done. I've never done that. So I did that last night. I thought, I'll give it a try. And I thought, actually, that's not bad. So maybe, you know, I might do that because I have to say, by the time, because I'm getting up so early, by the time I go to bed, I'm pretty tired, brain's pretty done. But maybe I need to just change my habit a little bit to have a bit more reflection time at night, maybe just carve out half an hour and think about, you know, what I'm doing, how I'm doing. Am I on the right things? Am I on the right track? And then do the planning for the next day. So I've got more time during that day to actually go and do it. That might be something I could do, something I haven't done before. I'm trying it. I'm tasting it anyway.
There was a little laugh there. What was behind that?
Well, you know, I'm a person who likes to try things and sometimes they work, sometimes they don't work. So tasting things for me is a bit of a trigger word for come out of your comfort zone and don't be afraid to fail, be adventurous, test, see, trial, adjust, reconvene, those sorts of things that sort of part of my makeup that I do that. So I'm going to test on myself here. I'll be the test bed for this new way of working and see how it goes.
What was the feeling behind the laugh?
Oh, probably just amused myself that I'm thinking like that, you know, because when you're in the training business, when you're in the executive coaching business, you know, you do all this stuff for other people. It's like that old expression, you know, the cobbler's children run bare feet. You know, you're the last person to get your tax done and you get everyone else's tax done. And you don't get your own tax done type of thing, where you're constantly putting other people at the priority level than yourself and you're not actually applying the things that you're advocating or pontificating for yourself, you know, cobbler's children run barefoot type of idea. So I was sort of laughing at myself about that. I teach this stuff. I should be doing some more of these things for myself and put shoes on the cobbler's children's feet here is what I was laughing about to myself.
That's your self-realization.
Yeah, it could be.
And what's your one key takeaway of today's conversation?
I think probably, and it's, I don't know whether it's because it's the last thing that came up, you know, how we tend to have a better memory of the last thing we talked about than the first thing we talked about. But I was just thinking about that reflection part, that maybe that's something as a discipline I need to hive off time, energy, and build that in. And maybe not do it last thing at night when I am tired, but maybe find a time in the end of the day for that. Well, I'm still fresh enough to do it anyway, and see if that gives me a little bit more control over the direction, a little bit more ammunition to do and execute on the things I need to be doing. So I'd say probably that thing in itself is probably a good thing to do.
And what are your commitments in that regard?
Well, to do it, it's like a trigger, isn't it? If you're doing the self-reflection, you're actually starting to evaluate the path you've set for yourself, how far you've gone down that path, how well you've gone down that path, and gives you a chance to recalibrate if it's not going as it should be or to tweak the quality or tweak the time if it's needed. I think that's probably a good trigger for me to make sure I'm actually on top of the things we've talked about today that I've outlined that I want to do. So that's probably a good thing is the key takeaway, I'd say.
And who can hold you accountable to that commitment?
Oh, I can. I'm very accountable for things that I do. If I say I'm going to do something, I do it. And whether that's people who are watching me or not watching me, makes no difference. You know, if I say I'm going to do something, I'll do it. And if I make that commitment myself, and I'm making the commitment myself right now on this call to do it, I'll do it.
Excellent. Thank you very much for your time today. We're closing now. We've come up to our time.
Thank you very much, James. Been very insightful. Thank you.
Excellent. Thanks, Greg.
Right. Thank you.